Super Smash Bros. Brawl finally smashes into the North American market. Too much fun or too much hype? Plus, we look back respectfully at Gary Gygax. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwolf Show week of March 9th, 2008. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt.
It's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Kamari, Catalarm, that game.
Bobby Blackwolf back at Dragon Con 2005.
Hi, I'm here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwolf.
Do you guys remember to set your clocks forward? Like, half my clocks set themselves and the other half. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Daylight Savings edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You are joining us here live on All Games Radio. Welcome. Head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com. I'll be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the evening. A little bit later on, our Skype line and our toll-free number are going to be open. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, that's all one word, or our toll-free number in the United States and Canada, 1-866-880-0156. Or if you're listening to us on the podcast, blackwolf@allgames.com is my email, and you can send me an email or you can send me a voicemail on that Skype line. So I wanted to open up the show with a little bit of remembrance of a big part of gaming's history, and a lot of people don't think that this has anything to do with video gaming history, but it really does. This past Tuesday, at his home in Lake Geneva, Gary Gygax, who was the co-creator of Dungeons & Dragons, he passed away at the age of 69. He had been suffering from health problems for several years, including an abdominal aneurysm, according to his wife, Gail Gygax, in a report by the Associated Press. Without Dungeons and Dragons, which was basically putting a gaming rule set on the Tolkien fantasy world, and allowed for gaming to not just be, you know, following their rules, but creating your own story and stuff. That pretty much started the whole role-playing movement. And a lot of video games, I mean, in the early days, there were a lot of games based on the Dungeons and Dragons rule set, but even, like, you know, any role-playing game that has strength and stamina and wisdom and intelligence, that all came out of what Gary Gygax co-created a long time ago. And so gaming would not be, you know, I think he was the kind of the catalyst. I'm not going to say that, you know, we wouldn't be where we are today without him, because somebody else probably would have come up with it. But Gary Gygax and the team over there at TSR, which is now owned by Wizards of the Coast, really made Dungeons & Dragons the phenomenon that it was. And unfortunately, it was misunderstood back in the 80s. It was called satanic. It was a cult thing. Apparently, kids were committing suicide because of their characters in Dungeons & Dragons. There was a wonderful Tom Hanks movie called Mazes and Monsters, which added to the hysteria. And when I say wonderful, I mean not wonderful. Just wanted to make you sure. I've actually never seen it, but I've heard things about it. I didn't want to get too upset over it. And, you know, Vae Victus over on our forums actually asked us, you know, whether you like it or not, Gary Gygax influenced gaming as we know it in a huge way, even outside the obvious evolution from pen and paper to Mass Effect and World of Warcraft. Looking back, I have to credit his D&D gaming concepts with some influence on my approach to adventures in my life, especially concerning my military and karate careers. I would like to know if Bobby or Scott Rubin from All Games Interactive have ever been dice fiends. If so, have you ever been reflective about how much that stuff has influenced today's gaming and you personally as, and he says, grown-up professional game mavens? I kind of beg to differ on the grown-up and professional part with me personally. But anyway, so basically people were asking, you know, did you ever play any of the pen and paper games? And actually, D&D was my first role-playing gaming experience, like way back in middle school. It was AD&D 2nd Edition, which is what I had. I actually owned the Players and the Fighters Handbook and stuff. And my parents actually took it away because they thought it was satanic. And I was like, you know, okay, if you look in there and you find anything satanic, let me know. And they eventually gave me back the books and stuff. But Actually, I think somebody, a kid in our area, did commit suicide, and he played D&D, so that was, that hysteria was going around in the area. But, you know, my first campaign in that is actually where I got the name Black Wolf. Yes, Bobby Black Wolf. Black Wolf is not my last name, and people do know my last name, and I don't keep it a secret, but Bobby Black Wolf sounds better. But I was creating a fighter, and I wanted to call him Red Wolf Strongarm. But we already had, like, a red something in the party, so that's where Black Wolf came from. So, you know, D&D created my name that you know me here of here on the internet, and that's because of Gary Gygax. Basically, when I started going to IRC a couple years later, which was, I think, 1994, is when I started going on the internet, I used Black Wolf as my name, and I've been using it ever since. And also, you know, I was a big fan of the Dragonlance books. I read almost all of them in, like, middle school and high school and stuff. I have a shelf just full of Dragonlance books. Got out of the habit of reading Dragonlance when I got into college, so I've missed a lot of the later ones and stuff. Since then, I did do pen and paper games and LARPing in college. In pen and paper, I went over to GURPS. I played some Shadowrun and some World of Darkness from the White Wolf people, and, you know, some hybrids and stuff. So, you know, even though I never DM'd or GM'd or story told or whatever you want to call them, you know, that was the way I spent some of my Friday nights in college when it wasn't football season and I wasn't in the marching band. So, yeah, I spent my Friday nights playing D&D. So, you know, I don't do any pen and paper gaming now, but I still play a lot of the role-playing games. I was big into EverQuest, which was based off of Dicku Mud, which was based off of GURPS, I think, something like that. And, you know, role-playing games are pretty much my top, you know, my favorite genre, second to rhythm action game, I guess. So, you know, RPGs, I love them. And, you know, a lot of people make fun of people who do, especially like the live action stuff, but it's, you know, great for learning, you know, conversation skills and stuff. And, you know, a lot of people call it improv acting as well, especially if you've got a good group that really does get into your characters. And luckily, I was able to game with some people who really got into it, both, you know, from a GMing standpoint and from a player standpoint. So, you know, something in the back of my mind says that, you know, Gary sometimes wasn't that nice of a guy, you know, but he is somebody who really should be respected and remembered well in the industry. And I know that a lot of people, you know, it's very easy to make, you know, the jokes about how he failed a saving throw or, you know, can I loot his body and stuff. But you know what? You know, I guess I'm going to miss him. And I'm going to miss him because my THACO is really, really high. It was a bad dice roll. Looking through chat, chat.allgames.com. Brickero says, funny about how the same statements about suicides and murder influences continues on games today. It's basically anything that's new. You know, it was D&D, it was heavy metal. And, you know, it's just, it's always just something new, and there will be something in 10 years that's not video games that will be invoking these comments. Tiger Claw says, you know, RPGs, computer RPGs, may have taken from D&D, but they still lack the amount of character creation that games like D&D had. RPGs, you can only choose from certain classes and their appearance. When you play a real RPG, you can create any character you want, and all you ever need is your imagination. And there are some games that get closer to the pen and paper experience. You know, the Neverwinter Nights series, obviously, is one of them, which has the big GMing tool set and things like that. So, you know, they're out there, but they're very few and far between. And really, you know, it's really fun playing a long campaign with a group of people, you know, basically meeting, you know, once a week or once every 2 weeks or even once every month and just, you know, ordering pizza and, when you're older, drinking beer and playing some D&D, some tabletop D&D. Something I want to get back into. I just, you know, I have so much that I'm doing that I can't do that. So, we will move on and talk about some other stuff. Now, this was a story that I briefly mentioned last week. It wasn't officially on the show roll, but it was one of those kind of I threw in when I was waiting for calls. And I received an email about this. This is about the Xbox 360 that was that had all the autographs and signatures on it. Got Red Ringed of Death. And it was sent to Microsoft for repair, and he got a 360 back with the same serial number, but all of his but basically the case did not have his drawings on it. And my thoughts on the case, my thoughts on what happened I talked about last week, but I promised I would read this email that I got from one of our listeners to counterpoint what I was saying. Now, this email says, "Hello, Bobby. You may recognize me better by my gamer tag, Sacred Leader, as that's what I use in and around the All Games community, but that's beside the point of this email. I'd like to clarify a few points that you made on March 2nd. The repaired case story you talked about toward the end of your show was very interesting. The story about this was broken by one of my friends, B.S. Angel of HottieMcBloggy.com. I've gotten the story directly from her on the day of this blowing up, that as far as she and I can tell, the guy's story that is in question is legit. As far as your speculation about whether this is real, I do believe so, since I decided to repost her post on our site. If you look at those images that you were speaking of, the image with the smudge is on the opposite side of the case from where the before image is compared with the bulk of the signatures. The side depicted with the smudge is of the side with Master Chief on it, not the side with the bulk of the signatures. Hence, the smudges not matching up. You can tell this by the inhale case feature not being on the same side. Now, regardless, if any of the above is right or wrong, he did not receive his console back in the same condition that he was told by Microsoft that he was going after calling them, and to confirm that it was indeed going to be the case. BS Angel has wrongly received a lot of flack for this, and I would hope that you would not do the same by speculating as well. Your opinion is your opinion, but please don't call BS without looking at the source first," unquote. And that was from Sacred Leader. If people are attacking BS Angel or, you know, anybody else related to the story, don't do that. Bungie has come through, and from what I understand, Microsoft is also in contact with Nathaniel, who is the name of the person who had this case. And, they're getting it worked out. They're getting something worked out. Also, I wanted to read, this was a follow-up post on HottieMcBloggy.com, which has a statement from Nathaniel about all this, and I'm going to read this, and then we'll move on. Quote, "When I sent the information for the story off to BS Angel, I had no idea how fast it would spread and how far it would reach. The amount of support from the gaming community as a whole has been extraordinary. As with virtually every hot story that hits the web, this story has been heavily debated almost everywhere. It has appeared from questions of validity to who should take the blame and much more. However, in reading people's comments on the matter, I have found that the response has been overwhelmingly positive. In cases like these, it is easy to question the motives of the party breaking the story. Sadly, we seem to live in a day and age where unscrupulous individuals are constantly looking for handouts from others. On the issue of my motives, I wish to be very clear. Although I was admittedly upset when I realized what happened to my console, after taking measures to protect it, I did not release this story for the purpose of exacting revenge on Microsoft. I have no intention of taking legal action, and I am quite alarmed at the number of people that have suggested that I do so. I am not demanding that heads roll for this. I have never requested any sort of compensation. My goals for this story were simple. I wish to get the word out to the gaming community about situations like these and to make Microsoft aware of potential and or actual issues with their service processes. At this time, I feel that significant progress has been made to both ends, and I continue to await more information from Microsoft staff. It is my ultimate goal and sincere hope that we find a way to prevent something like this from ever occurring again," unquote. And then he has some thank yous to BS Angel and to Bungie, because Bungie just sent him a huge pack of goodies all signed and everything. Big outpouring of support from Bungie, and I know that John Procaro over at Gamerscore blog has been in contact with him as well to see what he can do on Microsoft's end as well. So it's he's getting taken care of, and like I said, my opinions haven't changed on it, though they were last week, and that was from this week. So the big game that came out this week, it came out today, and it's Super Smash Bros. Brawl. It's been out in Japan for a month or so, and I do know that a lot of people have been playing it here, the Japanese version, but it finally came out here in the U.S. I attended a midnight launch of it because I was bored, already had it pre-ordered, and decided to go, down the street. The mall's just down the street from where I live and stuff. And it's kind of interesting that the way that GameStop now does these midnight launches. I guess they've learned from the past. What they did at mine is that when you got there, you had to go in and get your receipt. Basically, you could start paying it off, and you paid it off in full starting at 10 p.m., 2 hours before you could actually walk out the store with it. But you could go ahead and pay it off. So basically, they were having people come in and get a receipt. If you had paid it off in full, they printed out a receipt for you and you signed the thing that went ahead and said, I picked up my copy. And then they gave you a number on that. Then you went back out, and luckily, since it's an indoor mall, we didn't have to sit out in the cold because it was like 20-something degrees last night, and it was 75 degrees here like on Wednesday afternoon. It's Atlanta weather. And then midnight rolls around, and then they basically say, okay, 1 through 5, come in, and basically you show them your receipt, they put a little marker on it, hand you your game, and you leave. And I was like number 67, and I was home at 12:15. So it was a lot better than the other midnight launches I've been at that very same GameStop, where I'd get home at like 1 or 1:30 if I wasn't at the front of the line. So that was a very interesting take on it, and I think it's because mall security charges by the hour, and so they wanted to get everybody out there as quick as possible so they could stop paying mall security. So I brought it home and played it, and I actually do enjoy it. I've never been very good at Melee. So it took me a while to get back into Brawl and stuff. I do really like, I actually spent like 30 minutes before I even played a game, like just going around and like seeing what they had, like the collection, not the collection, but it was, basically the list of games that Nintendo has come out with, you know, going through there and seeing that they do actually acknowledge the existence of the Virtual Boy. They have Virtual Console Game Trials. They've got a great, amazing soundtrack. I just went through and was listening to songs on the soundtrack. No Big Blue from F-Zero. I don't know what's up with that. They had Mute City and they had some of the others, but Big Blue is one of my favorites, and they didn't have it. It was in Melee. Maybe it's unlockable. I don't think it is, though. And then I played it a little bit, and then I did go online a little bit, and once again, it's got the game-specific friends codes. So, you know, it basically proved that I wasted so much time inputting all those Wii friend codes when the Wii came out, because I went through and made sure that way when a game came out, I would just be able to jump in and I'd already have a full list of people, and Nintendo doesn't do that. And I don't know why they do that's the case, because I seem to recall early on Nintendo actually saying that, you know, all the Wii games will share one friends list. It's not going to be like the DS. And if it's not, if it's a game that just has leaderboards or something like Elebits where you can just send stuff, it does use your Wii friends list. It does use your main friends list. But, not in games where you actually play online. Okay. I did try to finally go online. I actually tried to go online with a friend who lives in my same apartment complex, and it didn't work. And I kept on getting this error, 86420. And we're going to be talking about another major error a little bit later on, but this is for people who have been able to get the game to start. If you get that error, 86420, basically what you need to do is you need to DMZ your Wii. That sounds bad. DMZ your Wii from your router. And basically this is because your router acts as a firewall and it blocks things from entering, and the Wii needs certain ports to enter, certain data to actually come to the Wii without the Wii asking for it. So basically DMZ, it basically opens up your Wii to the internet. There's no firewall between that and your Wii. It's perfectly safe because I don't think anybody's created a virus that will attack your Wii yet. Unless it's called herpes. And basically, that way you can play online. So if you get in that 86420 error, do that. Or you can go to Nintendo.com. They actually do list the ports that you need to forward if you are a little bit better at, you know, figuring that stuff out. And you basically get a static IP for your console and then forward those ports to it. Then it will work. But that's why that's happening. And it was fine when you had two players. But when we started adding 3 and 4 players, it started lagging really badly, and basically just it's slow-mo and it throws your timing off. And in a game like Smash Brothers, it's a lot of it is about the timing and stuff. I mean, most fighting, you know, all fighting games are somewhat about the timing, and so it's very difficult to play when it gets that fast, and it's more, you know, you're just praying that the button you hit will actually land by the time it gets over there. And I even noticed, you know, with only 2 players in the game, it seemed fine. But as we went on, you know, around the 10th or 15th match, then it would start lagging more and more and more. And, you know, the 2-player match was with a guy that, you know, lived maybe 500 feet away, you know, or something like that. He's not far. That's probably too close. But, you know, he's not far from where I am, and it started lagging. And we're on the same cable connection in the same apartment complex. We should be really have a really good connection. And even it was lagging. So I don't know if that's a memory issue or what. Now, one of the other things that's happened with Smash Brothers is it's the first dual-layer DVD game for the Wii. And some people's lasers are dirty. Their DVD lasers is dirty, and they can't actually load Smash Brothers. And unfortunately, the solution for this is get a new Wii from Nintendo. And if you have Virtual Console titles, you actually have to send back your Wii to them, and then they will fix it. They'll basically replace the DVD laser and send it back to you. Hey, you know, it's not just Microsoft and Sony that are having these issues. And actually, Sony doesn't have that many issues. I'm one of the few that's actually had to replace a PS3. But this issue on the Wii is actually I think it's the same one that the PS2 had with all those dirty disc read errors, where you could read DVDs but not CDs, and some could read CDs and not DVDs. Same type of thing. So, but anyway, that's kind of the technical side and stuff. But the game itself, I actually do kind of enjoy. They've got the normal classic mode from Melee, and I even think from the original one is back, and that's how you can unlock some characters. I was unlocking some characters in Versus mode. They've got the new story mode, and I started it, and I'm not going to spoil it or anything, so don't worry, but it doesn't exactly tell you what exactly you need to do, from what I understand, and you know, even I was like, okay, am I beating this? Okay, I guess I'm beating this guy up, and so far it is just, you know, go right and conquer. But apparently, like, a little bit later on, there's a stage where you can't figure out what you're supposed to do. It doesn't exactly tell you. And then you basically just have to do something. And when you figure it out, then you'll be like, oh, okay, that made no sense. But it worked. So, but that's basically the only way to unlock some of the characters and stuff. But it does seem kind of interesting. There's no dialogue and no text. So it's basically you see enemies and you beat them up. And that's your single player mode. Pen15 says Smash Brothers lagtastic, and Brookaroo says the stuff about you know, if they expect people to pay and play, they better add voice chat. And it's when I was playing online, I really didn't miss the fact that I couldn't talk to the other players during the game. I did kind of miss the fact that I couldn't really talk to them in between matches, but basically, all you do in between matches is select a new character and select a new stage. And, you know, luckily we were in the All Games chat room, and I was able, you know, people were able to yell at me when I would beat them up with Snake. And then I would be able to yell at them for beating me up with Pokemon Trainer. But honestly, I really didn't miss it because I was pretty silent while I was playing against them anyway. So I guess I'm still not seeing, you know, that voice chat is absolutely necessary. But yes, if they're gonna do some kind of pay service, yeah, they need to have voice chat in it. I agree with that. Tiger Claw says, I heard you can hook up your own old GameCube controller in Brawl. And actually, that's what I use. I use the GameCube controller. There's four control methods that you can use. There's the Wii Remote alone. There's the Wii Remote with the nunchuck. There is the classic controller, and then there's the GameCube controller. For people who've played a lot of Melee, it's the same button combo. Same buttons do everything, so you should be able to jump right in. And a lot of the characters do a lot of the same stuff too. They add other features to it. I use my GameCube controller, and actually, you can have any combination. Like I've got like two GameCube controllers hooked up, and then one Wii Remote, and so I could actually have three players with just that setup. You don't need four Wii Remotes or four GameCube controllers. You can mix and match as you want. Xenocore wants to reference the last episode saying voice chat is not happening on the Wii. It's not going to happen. Chat means nasty language and verbal abuse. Seymour Booty says, I'm inputting friend codes right now in Brawl. What a freaking pain in the butt. And yeah, it is. It's actually a lot easier if you use the Wii Remote to input them. But yeah, it's still a pain in the butt. And then to name them, you only get five letters. You can only put five letters for someone's name. So yeah. Thanks, guys. Now, I mean, you do get like a little motto and stuff that you can actually say who you really are or whatever, but it's very limited, and you can only have 64 friends. And Xenocore does say that, you know, the old GameCube controller was the controller of choice at the tournament he was at. The WaveBird controller is what and that's what I use. I use the WaveBird controller, although you can't get Rumble. It was the first wireless controller using RF, but you can't get Rumble in the WaveBird because they couldn't get it to... They would wear the batteries down too quickly, and Nintendo's big on battery life. Seymour Rudy says, there's no pointer when using a Wiimote. I'm talking like the D-pad is a lot easier than using like a Nunchuck C-stick or something. It was a lot easier for me to use the D-pad and the 2 button to enter things in, but that's just me. Basically, it's a fun game. It is fun. I mean, it's obviously not for everybody. It is, you know, very fast-paced. I mean, it doesn't lose that much. I mean, when you're playing offline, there's no frame rate dips that I've seen so far. When you're playing online, there's lots of frame rate dips and stuff. So it's still going to be a better game on the couch with other people. But the online mode is there for those that want it. And there are 4 taunts. This is not a Mario Kart situation. You can actually write your own taunts for friend play, not on worldwide play. I was actually never able to get into a worldwide game. But basically, you can actually write your own taunts and then map them to the D-pad or however you're going to taunt using whatever controller you are. So you can write your own there, which, unfortunately, nobody was using in the games that I was playing. So I don't know how much space you got in there, but basically I think it pops up like a say balloon above your character. And then it makes you vulnerable to attack. So basically you got to wait for somebody to if you want to talk to somebody, you got to do that, and then they can attack you and kill you. Yeah. Nintendo really wants you to keep quiet. Pen 15 says, does Bobby turn off all the cool drops in the game like the Smash nerds do? No, I don't, because they're really funny. Like, they have all those, like, assist trophies where, like, these other Nintendo characters will come out and then assist you. And, you know, I did see the Nintendog one that basically all it does is it comes and paws at the screen so you can't see what's going on. That one was really cute. And then there's a couple others, like a bunch of little Excite Bikes, 8-bit Excite Bikes will run and come out and run over people and stuff. It's pretty cool. I like the drops. That's what makes Smash Brothers Smash Brothers. I mean, it's not a, you know, it's that's what makes it fun to me. And that's also why I'd never play in a real tournament. And so if you're looking for friend codes and stuff, we do have a forum thread over on our forums at allgames.com. My friend code is there. A lot of other people's friend codes are there. Add yours to it, and maybe we'll be able to play online. So we're going to take our quick music break right now, and then we'll be opening up the phones for your comments on anything that happened this week, or if you want to talk about Brawl, or you want to talk about how stupid I am for liking Brawl, or you want to talk about how stupid Nintendo is for not letting you talk on Brawl, maybe. You can figure it out. So you can give me a call, and we will be back. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
This is the Bobby Blackwell Show, and I decided to write a little song about it. Yeah, that's me playing the guitar. You think I can just play crappy guitar? Nah. This is Gamer Edie from Gamehounds. I have a little message for you. You can get anything you want on the Bobby Blackwolf Show. You can get anything you want on the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Walk right in, it's around the back. Just 4 bars on the podcast track. Oh, you can get anything you want on the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Yeah, I totally wrote that. And the music too. Gamer Edie from Gamehounds, and when I'm not writing wonderful songs like this, I'm listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show.
Why are you all shooting yourselves? There was no mention of anything bad, Chris. I'll play the Mario bumper again. Hello, everybody. If you want to leave a bumper for us, you can leave me a voicemail on the Skype line, Bobby Blackwell Show. You can email me an MP3 at blackwolf@allgames.com, and you'll be able to welcome us back into the show. So we've been talking about Smash Brothers and stuff, and you know, I guess Pen15 says 10 cool points for me for being able to play with drops on. I understand that, you know, the drops make the game not as tournament friendly and stuff, but it's just the game, and that's why I enjoy it. I do like the final smashes. Somebody brought up that you know, I forgot to talk about the final smashes. This is something new. There's this ball that flies around in the air, and you go up and you have to hit it like a bunch of times, and whoever's the last person hit it gets to do their final attack, which varies from character to character, but it's kind of cool, and it, you know, takes up the whole screen and stuff, and It was very easy to pull off and stuff, which is something that, you know, I'm not used to having in, like, a, you know, normal fighting games or traditional fighting games, if you want to say that. You know, it was basic. It's very, you know, basically, sure, it may only have a few moves, but it's got, it's pretty easy to pull off and easy to get into. And, you know, I was doing some really cool stuff after, you know, only playing around in the game for 30 or 45 minutes. Granted, I have played Melee before, but, you know, I had to get back into it for Brawl because I haven't played Melee in years. I'm going to go ahead and open up our phone lines and our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, or 1-866-880-0156. If you want to call in, I do know a couple people are already wanting to call in and stuff. They've been asking me during the break if they could call in, and the answer is yes. Yes, you can call in. I like it when people call in so I don't have to talk the entire time. Pen15 says, do they still have the crazy Pokeball drops? Yes, the crazy Pokeball drops are still in the game, and actually, the Pokemon Trainer is kind of neat because it's got three Pokemon that you can, like, switch between. So it's cool. So we do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Blackwolf. It's Maximilian.
Hey, Maximilian. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to talk about Smash Brothers Brawl for a quick minute.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been playing it for a little bit. And like you said, yeah, there is lag in online, but overall, it's pretty fun. And yeah. I'm actually liking more of the levels where you have to, like, keep an eye on, like, the screen more of the time, like, where your guy is, and more about the fighting, like, what was it, the merry-go-round level, where you're, like, hopping off the ship and going running around the platforms and stuff. Yeah, I like that more than anything else. It just makes, this brings more of an edge to the game.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of those on, like, when I'm playing, when it's really lagging online, but I like those levels normally. But, you know, especially, you know, it's kind of hard when you're online and the frame rate's dipping and stuff to try to stay, especially like on the Ice Climber level where you're going up really, really fast.
Yeah.
And you have to stay up. But, I mean, yeah, no, I mean, those are really fun, and, you know, the way that the levels will change and stuff, and you got to kind of worry about all that. That's one of the things that I really like about the Smash series.
And those final Smashes, I mean, they're a trip because I remember you playing with Snake and it just basically has a grenade launcher and just aiming around the screen. It's just kind of hilarious to watch people trying to avoid their little target.
Yeah, yeah. No, I actually just unlocked Snake and was able to do that a couple hours ago and stuff. I don't know. Were you in that game?
Yeah, I was in that game. I think it was like Fox. I was just going between like Meta Knight and Fox. But
did I hit you?
Actually, you did not. I managed to stay away from you until like the very end of the your final smash, and I guess I just hit something and went flying off the screen.
Okay. Well, I'll get you next time.
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of. It's kind of interesting that, you know, the way that, you know, Snake fits in the game.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you know, a realistic looking character in this character, you know, this world of, you know, cartoonish Nintendo characters, but it doesn't seem out of place when you're playing.
I mean, it's just kind of amazing. Like, you know, Link and Mario, you get completely different looking characters, but yet they still fit in there. Mm-hmm. And I guess with the new characters, it's more about getting a feel for them, because the whole time I was playing with you guys online, I was trying to, like, just do a heavy attack just to knock you guys off the screen, and I couldn't do it. I'm like, God! I can't hit anybody off the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a little while to get used to, and, you know, to try to figure out, you know, how to get people off the screen, and it varies from level to level, because, you know, you may not be able to get them off the screen until you break apart a pillar, you know, to open up the area, so... Yeah, no, I mean, it is, when people that sit there and tell me that, you know, Smash Brothers is not a deep game, I, you know, kind of don't believe them, because, you know, there's a lot to it, and, you know, sure, a lot of it's just hitting the A and the B button, you know, and how deep can that be, but, you know, when you put in, you know, the item drops, if you don't turn them off like a wuss, and you put in, you know, the stages and the way that they change, there's a lot to it, and there's a lot that you need to master to be very good at the game at any level. So, you know, I enjoy it, and it's an enjoyable game.
Yeah, I mean, one more level to talk about was it the new Metroid level with the lava in the background that's always, you know, going across the screen. I mean, when I saw that big wave come, I'm like, oh, crap, where's the little shelter at? And it's, like, right in the corner, and everybody's trying to, you know, run for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was, like, the Picto chat level which I didn't think would work too well. But that one's actually really fun, where, you know, it's basically, it's just a blank PictoChat screen on a DS, and they draw the background, and you have to react to the background, and sometimes they'll draw flames and they actually do hurt and stuff. It was very funny to play on that. And then they've got like a side scroller level of World 1-1 and World 1-2.
Oh,
Super Mario
neat.
Brothers. And it's basically, you just go through the entire level, and yes, there's a mushroom in the question mark block where you expect it, and, you know. So it was cool. So yeah, thanks for your call. We do have other people that are trying to call in.
No problem. Nice talking to you. Later. Yeah.
So Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. I actually had two people trying to call in on Skype on that, so hopefully one of them will call in now and we'll talk. I know that not everybody is going to be talking about Smash tonight, but Smash was one of the big games that came out this week, so that's why a lot of people are talking about it. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up, Bobby? It's Toshin.
Hey, Toshin, what's on your mind?
I want to chime in on Brawl a little bit, like
okay.
Probably half the other people wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I've only got to play like about an hour or so because I had to work today, unfortunately. I just mm-hmm. got home now, and it's at my friend's, but we were fooling around with the sound test in the sound menu, and that's a pretty fun menu just if you're a music aficionado like you are, I know. And I just was loving going through listening to like all the old music, the remix stuff, and I thought it was great.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff in Smash Brothers that you could just like go around and, you know, play around with before you even get into the game. You know, the music, you know, the sound test is, you know, there's a lot of music. I was surprised at how much is in there, and they even like sort it by game and
oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all like, it's new arrangements. It's not the arrangement you've heard before either.
No, because I was like, I mean, I loaded up like the first, like the Super Mario level music, mm-hmm. and I was like, airship theme, you know, you're expecting, you know, Mario 3, you know, if you've heard it. And I was like, wow, this is more vivid. This works way
yeah.
better. It's more epic. I don't know if you want, that's probably too grand a word, but, you know, and I was flipping through like Donkey Kong, Legend of Zelda. My friend was like, there's Metroid in there. I was like, wow. They really did a good job picking up the menus for the music. I was like, WarioWare is in there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a WarioWare stage. I mean, there's all,
yeah.
they're all put in with the stages and stuff. But I mean, it's an amazing soundtrack. I'm going to be trying to pick it up just so I can listen to outside of the game and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
definitely. Absolutely.
So, but I mean, yeah, I mean, there's that and, you know, the virtual console stuff. And then, you know, obviously with all the stickers and the trophies, you can sit around and, you know, play around with your little trophies for hours and
yeah,
stuff.
Did you get to, we were going to get, we got a couple stickers, but did you pick up on those at all? Like, I'm not a big Smash player, so.
I have no clue.
Like a new edition? No, you don't know.
Yeah, it's new. It's related to that single player story mode, I think.
Okay.
But I haven't gotten far enough in there. I think they've got like power-ups for your characters in single player, I think. But I only went into single player long enough to be able to say, okay, I went into the single player mode. So now I know kind of what it is, and I still don't really know that much about what it is.
Yeah.
So.
We just did like a couple of like classic brawls. We didn't get to go online at all because we were just like, oh, let's play this now. So
yeah.
It's probably playing it with like, and I know you were talking about the lag issues earlier, so I don't have any experience in that yet.
Right.
But, you know, could be soon. Like, if anybody wants to find me, I might be able to play this week. I don't have a Wii yet, but...
Okay, well, go get one. Try to find
one.
Yeah. Because they're everywhere. There's
oh, yeah.
50 of them at every store. You can go down to the gas station, they've got 10 of them.
Hmm.
Right?
I didn't look there yet.
Okay, yeah, go to the 7-Eleven.
Do we have those here in Canada? I'll have to make...
Well, nobody has electricity in Canada, so you should be able to find them just fine.
Yeah, I've got to crank my generator a little harder just to talk to you. So.
Yeah, because you got to worry about your igloo melting and stuff. I understand.
Yeah, I know.
I'm pissing off every single Canadian in the world right now, I can tell. I'm going to stop this now. Thanks for calling in. There are other people trying to call in.
Yeah, no problem. Later, bye.
Did you hear that? He's like, he's making fun of me being Canadian. I'm sorry. I like Canada. Kind of. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype. There were actually like three other people trying to call me on Skype at that one time, so now it's a race to see who gets in first this time and to see if they're going to talk about Smash or not Smash. This one came in first. So Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Yo, it's Xenocore from the Ultimate Quest. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, doing good. What's up, Xenocore?
Yeah, that, yeah, Smash was the big game at MegaCon. I do honestly have to say that. There were at least 16 people around it just watching, never mind the four people that were playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a comic con, so that's pretty impressive.
Well, Smash Brothers is always kind of the game that anime and card collector players have always played. Like, whenever I go into, like, one of those collectible card gaming shops, we've got one nearby, they have the video game in the corner. Like, everybody else is playing Magic and stuff, but they have the one video game in the corner, and it's always Smash Brothers. Mm. So, I mean, it is pretty much like when you talk about video games to somebody who's primarily a collectible card gamer, they think Smash Brothers, because that's the only game anybody plays. And I've seen that here in Atlanta. I saw it in Philadelphia. We went into a place, and that's what they were playing, was Smash Brothers. You know, that's why it's so popular and stuff, because it's basically, that's the culture that it's around, and there's no other game that really has tapped into that culture.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, especially since they had it since Friday, so technically it was out before release at the con, so... Mm-hmm. That was a nice little scoop they managed to do. But as far as games go, which would you prefer as far as gameplay is concerned, Power Stone or Smash Brothers?
Because
I sort of put them in the same class of fighter. So
and I mean, I remember Power Stone. I preferred playing Smash Brothers more, mainly because I recognized the characters, and it was just, you know, being able to see, you know, Mario and Link fight it out. You know, that was one of those things as a kid, you know, back in the 80s. Oh, wouldn't it be cool if Mario and Link, who would win between a fight between Mario and Link? And that's part of the appeal of Smash Brothers. And I mean, you know, nothing against Power Stone, it's a great fun game, but it was just, you know, that Nintendo brand is kind of what brings Smash Brothers over the top of these other games that are like it. I know, like, Jump Superstars is like it with Shonen Jump characters and stuff, but, you know, just, you know, the epic, you know, what if Mario and such got into a fight? You know, now it's Mario and Sonic. What would happen if they got in a fight? And I think that if it was a race, Sonic should win, which is why I think that Olympic game is crap.
Yeah, I actually did manage to get that played over the con. But it's well-designed, let me say that. For the type of game that it is, it's well put together. But I can only see it being fun in a group. So I won't be purchasing it. I'll just be playing with other people on download. So
yeah,
that's pretty much all I had. So
okay, yeah, they're good party games and stuff. So I have some other calls. So thanks for calling in, man.
Hey, no problem. Take it easy, Bobby.
Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype. Now is the mad dash for the other people who were trying to call, that they will try to get in, and then I'll open up the phone lines. This is actually kind of nice. I'm getting a whole ton of calls tonight. This is really good. I like nights like this. Okay, so we do have this call here. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby, it's Frustrated Fury.
Hey, what's on your mind, man?
It's not Brawl. I'll go ahead and say that.
Hey, you got some fans in chat already.
I know. Ben, I know you're hearing me. What I want to talk to you about is I got a rant about Army of Two. And it's not a rant against the game. It's a rant against EA.
Okay.
The problem is, I bought the game. Me and a buddy got it at the exact same time. We decided we were going to play co-op all the way through, and we're not going to play with anybody else until we do. So we got home. We played it for about, you know, maybe 3 hours. We grinded for a while. Just played a lot of it. So I was like, I had to go to bed. So went to bed. Came back the next day after work. The servers are down.
Okay.
They were down for 6 hours.
And this is on Xbox Live or PC?
This was on Xbox Live.
Xbox Live, okay.
Yeah. And I was actually wanting to have a question with you. I know that you played Burnout Paradise.
Right.
Did the servers ever crash a lot on Burnout Paradise?
I never saw them crashing, but I did see, like, downtime notices and stuff.
Right.
But I don't remember them crashing, like, in the middle of gameplay or anything like that.
Right. See, I've already had mine, like, just, I wouldn't say connection timed out. It was just like, it was saying EA's, or you're now returning to the main menu because it was timed out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know it's EA and everybody loves to pick on them, but seriously, anybody who has a 360 or a PS3 needs to play this game, even for a rent, because this is the first game I've played that's made by EA in a long time. That wasn't a watered-down piece of junk. besides Burnout Paradise.
So what do you like about it? Like, what specifically? Convince me.
Okay. Here, I'll give you a scenario. You have to play with somebody online that you know. You can't just join in with somebody, you know, random, because like you said in the last episode, you don't want to join with these idiots that like teabagging people and yelling and stuff. Everything that is co-op driven in the game is not gimmicky like in other games that are co-op. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you ever played Gears of War, you know how the co-op worked. Mm-hmm. But it's all perfect. Like, I'm serious. It's like Zen, almost. It's like, if you get shot too many times, you'll go down. Well, not just that. While you're down, you can still shoot. And your partner can grab you and drag you to a safe spot and then heal you. And it all flows very good. It's very fluid. There are other things like sniping at the same time. They've got like a co-op snipe thing where, like, if you got guys that aren't paying attention to you just yet, you know, you count down 3, 2, 1, and then shoot at the same time. It's just a really, really awesome game. They have the back-to-back mode, like you'll go into a back-to-back mode and everything goes in slow motion, kind of like the Matrix. And it's a really, really good game. And I know you don't like shooters, but I suggest you try it.
I will. I will put it on my Gamefly queue and see whenever it shows up.
All right. Hopefully by then they'll have the servers fixed.
Yeah, usually it's like the first week when everybody's trying to hammer them, that's when the servers get overloaded, because they know how many people are going to play it over time, and that's kind of what they have to build for. And then, yeah, there's a surge in the beginning, but then it drops off and stuff.
Right.
So, you know, I think all games, all online games that have servers like that, do get slammed, like, right when something comes out. I mean, even the general Xbox Live servers got slammed when Halo 3 came out, you know, so...
Right.
I'm kind of expecting, you know, Nintendo servers are getting slammed today because of Brawl. So, you know, you always find that, so, you know, hopefully the issues online will be sorted out soon so people can enjoy the game. Anything else on your mind?
Have fun with Brawl, that's all I can tell you. I sold my Wii about 2 weeks ago, and now I'm kind of mad at myself. But, yeah, that's all. I just wanted to tell everybody that's ever listening to Bobby Blackwolf Show, at least rent Army of Two.
Okay. Rent Army of Two. Frustrated Fury says so.
Yes. And I know everything.
Yes.
No, Bobby Blackwolf knows everything.
There you go. That's
correct.
There
we go.
Thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it.
No problem.
So Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. There was one other person that was trying to get on Skype. He will be the next person once he calls in. I will take that, and then I'll open up the phone lines because I know some people are trying to call in over the toll-free number. But I've got that shut off to try to get all the people I've seen on Skype trying to get in. And so we do have another call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hi, Bobby. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good. Who is this?
This is Tyrone Hawk.
Hey.
How's everything going? I see you are happy. You have a lot of calls during tonight.
I know. It's kind of interesting. I usually only get like one or two, and tonight so far it's five and counting. So what's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I'm also my gamer tag. I own it to D&D. That was my cleric character when I played it the second time. Mm-hmm. And wow, I can tell you memories that I have from Greyhawk, Dragonlance, well, you name them. It's incredible. And it really, Gary Gygax made a lot of impact to everything that we have currently today on role-playing games, you name it, Japanese role-playing games, whatever.
And even in like first-person shooters nowadays, you know, now, you know, like Call of Duty 4, you have to level up and stuff. And, you know, there's leveling up and, you know, stats on your character. That pretty much was made popular by Dungeons & Dragons. And that's why, you know, Gary Gygax is probably one of the more influential game developers of all time. You know, and it's sad that he passed away. You know, I consider 69 young for some people. But, you know, he made a great impact on our industry. And Like, hang on, I just got to make sure that I still miss him. Hang on here. Yeah, I still miss him. So, yeah. Roll my dice there.
Okay. And no, the second thing is that I think everyone in the community really appreciates the kickoff that Mr. Thompson received from EA. So it was good to see a company just, you know, making it formal without all the things that we all wanted to add to him. But it was good, really.
Yeah, no, basically what he's for those that don't know, what he's referencing is that EA formally sent a letter to Jack Thompson after Jack Thompson offered to help them with their acquisition of Take-Two, saying, you know, we believe in creative freedom, and that means that we really cannot work with you in any way. And so the next day, EA says that he found a third-party studio or an outsourcing studio that worked with Take-Two that will be suing Take-Two and Electronic Arts, and that EA better watch out because they dare rebuff him and stuff. And I think that's a bluff, personally. But yeah, so, but I mean, EA doesn't play the game. Like, Take-Two kind of drug him along because he gave them so much publicity. EA doesn't play that game. And it's pretty well known with the Mass Effect thing, you know, when they went after Fox News over Mass Effect, that they don't play that game. So yeah, it was something that needed to be said, and I'm glad somebody finally stood up to him and said it.
Right, that's right. So just take care. It has been wonderful as always to talk with you, and see you soon.
Yep, thanks for calling in.
Okay.
So, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. The phone line is open. So now you can call in over the phone, and we'll see how many calls we can get in one night. This is actually kind of fun. I should do this every week. Tiger Claw does mention that Criterion is going to be releasing a patch for Burnout Paradise, which is going to fix a lot of the glitches and stuff that are happening in the game. So that'll be good to see, and I'll go in and check those out when they're out. So we do have a call here. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Codeman from the chat and forums.
Hey, Codeman, what is on your mind?
I wanted to talk about Army of Two.
Okay.
I was listening to the PSP chat. That's way off. Mm-hmm. I was listening to you on the PSP radio thing. That was way off.
Yeah, it's about 30 seconds, so yeah, turn off the radio when you call in.
No, I was playing it the other day, and I can't get over the fact that, I mean, this isn't, like, the best game I've played. Like, by far, Call of Duty 4 is a lot better, but, like, the co-op campaign is just awesome, because me and my friend were playing, and he walked in, like, hey, come over here, and I pressed the action button, and my guy headbutted his guy, and me and him, like, rolled over laughing, because I just smacked his guy in the head. I was sitting there like, oh my gosh, I just hit your guy in the head, and now I was like, what else can we do? So we started playing guitar, which was the weirdest thing.
Okay, so wait a minute. You can play guitar? Wait, what?
Yeah, like you press the action button, and your guy's like, D-l-l-l-l-l-l. He like starts making guitar sounds.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was really kind of weird.
And I mean, then somebody else shot you in the head while you were doing this.
Yeah, no. Like, when you're standing next to each other, certain stuff can happen if you're pressing the action button. Like, you can, like, pound somebody or, you know, like, pound, you know, fist pound. And he actually, I pressed it, because I wasn't expecting to headbutt, but he headbutted him with his helmet and stuff. I was like, what? And then we were, like, sitting there, we sat there for probably 30 minutes just trying to see all the combinations of one. And they, you know, like, you press it, and they'd be like, they'd go down to, like, you know, like, air guitar, they'd be like, and they, you know, making guitar sounds. I was like, what?
So have you had server problems? Like, have you had disconnection problems?
I go to school, so I can't play some days. Like, I'm playing mostly on the weekends,
mm-hmm.
And I'm usually up later than I like, because I'm usually up, like, 6 o'clock in the morning with my friend,
mm-hmm.
And so I didn't experience server problems.
Okay, so yeah, it's I guess, you know, for what Frustrated Fury was saying before is that, you know, that's kind of isolated too when a lot of people are on the servers or, you know, if something happens over there. So basically, you say that headbutting makes this game good, and I should go rent it.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean it's the co-op is really good, and mm-hmm. It's a great co-op. They really focused on that feature. And like the co-op, it seems different than the single player because there's a lot more interactions that can happen. Back to back is a lot better when you can, you know, you can tell the other guy to, like, I can tell my friend to focus on that area because I know there's a guy there.
Because
he's got a machine gun and I got, like, a pistol or something.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for your thoughts on that. Once again, everybody, Army of Two, you should rent it. Codeman and Frustrated Fury say so. And then go butt heads and play your guitar.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thanks for your call, man.
No problem.
So, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. I will go ahead and leave it open for one more call, but we are running up to the 9 o'clock hour, so which means that we will be leaving you for the week. And then we'll be back next week and probably only get one call next week. And so, yes, we do have one last call. This is going to be the last call we're going to take tonight. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Ben 15.
Oh, gee, I thought we made it a whole show without hearing. I mean, hello. What's on your mind tonight?
First of all, I want to say avoid Army of Two at all costs.
Okay, now why should I avoid Army of Two at all costs?
Because it looks terrible.
Okay, and when you say looks, do you mean like gameplay looks or graphics looks?
Oh, gameplay. I'm not. I don't care about graphics.
Okay.
Graphics are meaningless. Gameplay is what makes a game immortal, hence why we could still play Tetris today and it's still just as fun as when it was originally created.
So now, have you actually played it or have you just looked at it?
Oh, I've just looked at it and I know EA.
Okay, so you're basically...
If it's not from Will Wright, it's probably going to be a generic take on another popular game, which in this case it would be Gears of War.
Okay, so all these people that have, you know, the two people that have called in that said, you know, definitely at least rent this game, they don't know what they're talking about?
Well, I'll ask you this. Did you like Gears of War?
Not really.
Okay, then. What makes you think that EA, the monolith known as EA, will possibly do a better job? Like, I can't think of a time where EA outdid another company at something that they're copying.
Well, technically, Rock Band was published by EA.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes I won't buy a game even if it's just published by EA, just because EA still manages to add a little element that's just, like, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I love Time Splitters, and then Time Splitters 3, totally terrible. But, yeah, Rock Band is one where I don't know what happened, but apparently EA really had nothing to do with it, because it's actually good.
Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't developed by an EA studio, so I guess, you know, but Army of Two is, and I guess that's where your distinction is coming in. Because, I mean, you know, EA also released Portal and, you know, the Orange Box. That was an EA-published title as well.
True.
But, you know, I mean...
But even then, look what happened with Team Fortress 2.
Because...
Oh, no, I just meant it was broken on the 360.
On the 360, yeah, well...
It seems that they have this sort of evil touch where they touch a game and then bad things happen.
Well, you know, we'll see. I mean, I didn't like Gears of War just because I'm not a big shooter person and I could not chainsaw other people when I wanted to because I sucked at it. But I mean, I know a lot of people enjoyed Gears of War, and you know, if you enjoyed Gears of War, I think that they should still rent it and make their own opinion. Don't look at the name that's on the box. And stay away from it just on that principle, because you know you may be missing out on something you'll really, really like.
Oh no, I just meant for you personally,
yeah.
You shouldn't play, because for others, you know, people play whatever they want. It's just that I know what it's like playing a genre that you're not into.
Mm-hmm.
I had to suffer through Final Fantasy VII, but then I also played Xenogears, which was brilliant.
Right.
So I just know that feeling of if you're going to tell somebody to go into a genre that they're not used to, then you'd better damn make sure that it's a good game. For example, for a shooter, I would recommend to you Max Payne or Metal Arms.
Okay.
Because those are very, very good despite the genre.
Okay.
If you don't like the genre,
but
it doesn't matter.
I heard the dream level sucks in Max Payne.
Yeah, but it's short. It lasts like 5 minutes.
Unless you suck at it and then it lasts 2 hours trying to start it over and over again. That's what I hear. Somebody was actually,
well,
I think
that,
Billy O'Keefe was in our chat room, like, complaining about the dream level, like, just an hour ago, or like an hour and a half ago. Like, just tonight I was hearing about this dream level in Max Payne, which I know is an old game, but I, you know,
but
I didn't.
That never happened to me, though. I don't know how that happened to, like, I could understand how it could happen, but just logic will eventually prevail and you will finish.
Right. Derek H. says, Max Payne, what is this, 1998? Now it's...
Hey, Max Payne is good. Yeah. It holds up.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bobby.
So that is it. That is all that I'm going to inflict on you guys this week. Thank you, everybody, for all the calls. I think that's like a new record of how many calls we've gotten in one show that wasn't like a 100th episode spectacular or something like that. So one thing I did want to mention is that if you haven't heard, I was one of the guest hosts of Video Game Outsiders this week. It was the episode that was released this past week, so it's already up on their feed. Basically, I talk about... I retell my story on GDC and what I think about GDC and the whole indie press thing. But I talk about me trying to play Eternal Sonata. And then I also kind of talk a little bit about Sam and Max, because episode 204 is coming out this coming week. I can't say anything about it other than if you really like Sam and Max, this one's really good. And if you've been following the story, you really want to play this one as soon as possible when it comes out. I'll have my impressions on it. Mostly spoiler-free next week. I can't really give you impressions on it this week. But VideoGameOutsiders.com, and you can hear me there with John, Kyle, and Michelle talking about stuff, and actually stuff that we didn't talk about here, because they all play World of Warcraft, so I got to interject some WoW stuff, even though I don't play WoW, but stuff like that. So check them out. But us, we'll be back here next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio over at allgames.com. So catch us live, interact with the show directly. Leave me a voicemail, or just leave a voicemail or a bumper on any topic. Bobby Blackwolf Show on our Skype line. Or you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, or we have the official forums, where you can find my Smash Brothers friend code over in the Nintendo forum over at allgames.com. However, we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the live chatters, and that's especially true tonight. AGN, Chrisville 1724, GK128, Hendrix, Tedekin, Burning Paper Sun, Burr, Fifth Dream, Funnydale, Ichiban, Mako, Maximilian, Refi, Seymour Booty, Shadows Liar, THK, Tiger Claw, Toshin, Wylan, Alpha Cananagram, Has the Brawl, Alt, Amaze Satsuma, RFX, Billy O'Keefe, Binary 667, Bruka Uru, Sidabria, Codeman, DeBluestein, Decipher, Derek H, DJ Dark Knight, DSG Will, Duality, Firecube, Footy Monster, Frustrated Fury, Glitch 720, Gorilla, Gripper 01, Havoc 978, Hecht, Hey Jude, Interlogic, Joe Kill, Johnny 5, JP the Prodigy, Justin Sane, Kasa, Kazan, Lassic, Loserly, MacMan, Mr. Elusive, Necromoss, New Shiny CD, Nick Ferg, Pen 15, Richie Manic, Shadow Next Gen, Sounds, Sub Z, Sully 907, Sunbun, TM 985, VX, Jason XV, What Up G, Wilcon, and Zappy. So we have a smashing week for those of you that have been playing it. And I will see you here next week and stuff. And remember, the clocks, it's an hour ahead. Don't be late. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.